I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and we have breaking news. Cam Newton has been signed by the Carolina Panthers. Do we see him take over? I think Walker gets a chance to play here, right? They're not going to walk
him
off the street.
Ain't no chance in hell Cam Newton starts Sunday unless he's really that smart and can pick up the playbook that fast.
I mean, he's been there about a damn decade.
Yeah, but it ain't the same.
Well, yeah, it's a different staff.
Yeah, that's Ron Rivera was there when he was there early. Now you got to pick up, Matt Rhule and Joe. And look, I'm sure it's probably not a tough offense to pick up because Sam Darnold hasn't been there that long. They're probably catering things towards Sam Darnold. But that offense does have a lot of running threat at the quarterback. Sam Darnold, he's leading he's actually second, I believe, to Lamar Jackson in rush touchdowns among quarterbacks this year. So, I mean, that's some usage for Cam Newton. You know, that's his bread and butter.
I think it's awesome.
I'm glad Cam's getting a second chance. He's one of our generation, specifically our age group's favorite players.
Yeah.
By far. He's just, his career, he's the guy that taught us he got 10 years with someone that's a physical runner.
Yep. And look, you know, the way I feel about Cam Newton in the NFL and the way he's been treated is, to me, I think it parallels a lot with Carmelo Anthony and how he was treated for a couple years in the NBA, just kind of as a has-been. Everyone forgot about him, right? Like, you see this guy with so much talent, and you're like, how is this guy not on a roster? How do you not even give this guy a chance?
Not even as a backup.
I'm going to give you a pushback here, though, because there's also another thing that Carmelo did, though, that brought him back that we've yet to see Cam be able to do, because Carmelo, like a true great, reinvented his skill set to fit a roster that he could actually help out on once he lost his step. Now he's an elite kickout shooter. He never was that in his whole career.
Football is different. I mean, you know, once you have an identity as a player, that's who you are.
So, but, you know, Melo changed, so we got to see Cam change a little bit.
Change how? Change how? It's not his fault that Josh McDaniels was
able to
call
a little better.
It wasn't his fault. Josh McDaniels was running them into the ground last year because Cam Newton could run.
That's fine. They knew. So let's see what he can do in an offense that actually schemes wide receivers open.
Smart quarterback.
They're gonna cater it to him. They're gonna build it around Cam the way that he's comfortable, I guarantee it. Because he's been running the same system since Auburn. Like they basically took that and they brought that pistol formation or the zone read and the whole bunch or the tight formations and all that. They brought it in to Carolina and then look at what happened.
DJ Moore gets some targets, I'll be happy.
Yeah, he probably will.
Just let him know he's probably going to have to climb the Eiffel Tower to go get him.
All right, guys, got another domestic.
Robbie Anderson season.
We got another domestic incident, but this one's got a little bit of a twist to it. So Dalvin Cook, a lawsuit is coming about where Dalvin's accused of holding a woman hostage of some sort. But Dalvin tried to get out in front of this one, and he's making it very clear, this is not my fault. I was actually the victim here. Apparently, there's video. I watched the video. It doesn't show faces. There's a lot of yelling, a lot of kneecaps. But there's a video of this woman, like, broke into his house and, like, pepper sprayed him and, like, busted up into his house. And she's claiming that he held her under, like, false imprisonment.
But apparently she said that she flew to him to break up with him. Yeah, I mean, it's all funny.
Yeah. It's all weird. It's not a normal one. Do we
there
see
were
this
some Instagram messages between the two as well that are kind of
what did those say? I didn't see them.
It was apparently Dalvin. I can't confirm it all the way, but I was reading something. Dalvin was messaging her on Instagram to come back. You know, like kind of like there might
maybe
have been something
back
going on. Yeah, there was like a fight or something, and she was like, "Look at what you did to me," or her face, or whatever they were talking about in those messages. And then he was like, "Hey, I just want you to come back to me," that type of situation. So,
I don't know, could get messy, dude. But the reason why I bring this up, because we are not here to judge. We are a football podcast. How does this affect Dalvin Cook's rest of the season? Do we see the NFL get involved here, or do they let this one play out?
I think he runs angry for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Chargers defense this week.
It was already going to be brutal.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook is going to be beating up on that Chargers defense this week.
Yep. That's just true. So Dalvin Cook, so you don't think it affects the Vikings at all this year?
I mean, look, they as long as Kirk Cousins is there and he's just, you know, coming up short every single week, I don't think it really matters. I mean, the problem isn't Dalvin Cook. That offense can't run the ball as well as it has in the past, but Kirk Cousins, man, they got to just get him out of there.
The good thing about the Vikings is we've seen Alexander Mattinson step in twice this year and have big games without Dalvin Cook there. So Madison has taken that next step as a true blue handcuff.
Yeah, but he's not Dalvin Cook. You are right, but he's not Dalvin Cook.
This is true.
That's real.
All right, guys, one last thing before we move on to the trivia. OBJ has narrowed his search to the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Saints. Now, personally, I think the funnest one is the Packers. I would love to see OBJ with a dude who can throw a deep ball like Aaron Rodgers and place it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes as well, too, but I feel like that's more of a rhythm offense. I think Aaron Rodgers is good. I just think him and OBJ would, like, click.
See, my analysis is actually it's actually flipped the other way. I think it would be more fun to see him in a big play offense that scores a lot of points, like Kansas City. And I feel like Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers is more of a rhythm-based offense. And I think OBJ should choose Green Bay. I think it'll be better for his career because, look, it's basically an 8-game tryout, 9-game tryout, right? Mm-hmm. You know Aaron Rodgers is going to put the ball where he needs to put the ball on any given play, i.e. look at Davante Adams, okay? So from that standpoint, that's what's best for him. If he has a great back half of the season, then he can get another big contract, you know, during the offseason. And then as far as the New Orleans Saints, I think it's just, I mean, he's the Louisiana boy, right? But he shouldn't go to New Orleans because he's going to be in somewhat of a similar situation. You're probably going to be angry at the quarterback for not getting you the ball because you don't have a high-level quarterback back there.
I think Green Bay's only offering him the minimum, and they have to re-sign Devontae.
That's what everyone's offering him because he's still getting paid by Cleveland.
I mean, but that's all he kind of deserves. And look, he's not even OBJ anymore. He's Odell Beckham. Okay,
that man called him by his government.
And he's gotten his money.
He's
so
falling
to speak.
Pretty
so
far for that.
Just take the vet minimum.
This man called him like he's at the DMV.
I mean, OBJ was replaced by DPJ. So we'll see.
Damn DPJ.
Browns, man.
OBGYN.
But it's not the first DP that frat boy Baker Mayfield has been involved with.
I'm sure. Probably not.
It's a terrible job. All right, let's jump right into
defensive
trivia.
Pass interference.
Yes, Brandon. Keep your mind PG. substitute. Class is in session. Bring.
I got a good one for you.
Recess, Muff.
The Blicky Four. So, who are the only two non-quarterbacks to go number one in the NFL draft in the last 8 seasons? Again, hold on. Wait. Before we get the little re-read in the corner of the class, hold up.
Good.
Brandon, we'll kick it to you first, and then we'll end it with Woody. Unless he needs some more time, we can go to Woody first. You know, he got probably several answers on the tip of his tongue, you know.
I got one.
Say it again.
Right.
Repeat the question one more time, and then we'll move on.
All right. Who are the only two non-quarterbacks to go number one in the NFL draft in the last 8 seasons?
Ooh, good.
First, this is what I want to ask you guys as we think about the answer to this question. What's the most important position in football?
Defensive end. That's why one's Myles Garrett.
No. Wait. The most important position in football is defensive end?
Yeah, pass rushers is the only position that can...
Well, quarterback be, and
outside of quarterback
you,
is
Brandon.
What I thought you were asking.
Thank you.
Outside of quarterback.
Because
relating to the question. But actually, there's an argument that you could make defensive end is the most important because it's the only position that can affect an elite quarterback.
Well, corner is up there.
Defensive end helps the corners too.
So, all right. So, Woody, you know, he blurted out, one answer. I'll tell you whether it's correct or not after you guys give me correct. A second one. So
I feel like there's two of them in the last eight.
Yeah. God,
Myles Garrett.
I think the other one was an offensive lineman.
I don't know.
Who was the only two non-quarterbacks to go number one in the NFL draft in the last eight seasons. So Woody is correct. In 2017, Myles Garrett did go number one. And then in 2014, Jadeveon Clowney went number one to the Houston Texans.
Wow, that's within the last 8 years? That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And every other pick from, you know, with the exception of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney has been quarterback. In 2015, it was Jameis. 2016, it was Jared Goff. 2017, it was Myles Garrett. 2018, it was Baker. 2019, Kyler Murray. 2020, Joe Burrow. And then this year, it was Trevor Lawrence. So.
And then 2022, Aiden Hutchinson.
So. Yep. And that kind of actually spawned this question.
That is. That's a good one.
Let's see.
That's a long time, though, between.
Aiden Hutchinson's going to be a Detroit Lion?
It'll either be Hutchinson or Thibodeau.
Yeah, all right. One of those two.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into the games today. Good class there, Teach.
If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, you can get help by visiting gamblingaddictioncenter.com. Addiction is a disease, and we here at the Five Tool Sports Podcast and Football Scout 365 want our listeners to know that everything we present on our show with regard to point spreads and betting, that is strictly for entertainment purposes only. So
everything in moderation, guys. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into the games today. Good class there, Teach. Now let's jump right into the spreads. We got our first game, which did we learn our lesson last week? What's going on in Buffalo? Buffalo's giving up another 13 points to the New York Jets, who the Jets have been balling lately on offense. And folk hero Mike White, the blue-collar demon, is coming back, and he'll be starting this game.
I'm happy about that.
Right?
I'm a Mike White fan. I don't know why or this how. Man or
plays one game, gets jersey in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, it's impressive. Yeah. Did y'all ever see he actually tweeted when he was like 12. He was like, hey, Peyton Manning, I'm sorry to let you know, but I'm going to break all of your records when I get to the NFL.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
I'm sure Peyton Manning got messages like that every day when he was in the league.
I really believe that what we're going to see in this game is you're going to really see the Bills just go after him. I think you're going to see Josh Allen. He's going to hit some big plays. He's going to make the plays that he needs to make. He's going to have a bounce back this week. I'm 100% certain that this is the moment for that. When I'm looking at the Jets usage of like man coverage and zone coverage, though, they do run quite a bit of zone coverage versus man coverage. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, are they willing to continue to do that and force Josh Allen to dink and dunk? And we had that conversation on the previous show. But I'm going to go ahead and make my pick. I'm going to go, what was the line again on this one?
13.
Wow.
right? That's a lot for this Jet offense. That Jets almost backdoor covered against the Colts.
No, I'm going.
But Josh Johnson?
I'm going with the Bills here.
Okay. I don't hate it. I mean, we've seen the Bills. They've had the most shutouts of any defense so far this season. We saw the New York Jets play pretty poorly versus the Indianapolis Colts their last time out. The strength of that Jets defense is that front four and that Colts offensive line ate the front four of the Jets up. It was actually quite surprising. The Bills aren't necessarily strong on the offensive side of the ball up front. And so with that being said, I think the Jets will cover the 13 points, even if it's not. I think they may be able to even win convincingly. But again, I think the Jets defense can play well enough and get after Josh Allen well enough to keep it somewhat respectable.
Nice. Yeah, I see that.
I think the Jets went up against two defenses that were kind of frauding as of late with Indianapolis. And Indianapolis just went into prevent after they took that big lead. And they were just getting, like, burned on the short stuff. I think this is actual tough defense. And I think the Jets really struggled to move the ball here.
Mm. Like it. So what's going to happen?
I'm going Bills.
Oh.
Say it again.
I put
Bills are going to cover.
Say it one more time that way.
Bills or Danny Glover?
Because that's what I heard the first time.
So you have the Bills covering as well, CJ?
No, I have the Jets covering. You see that? That's why this happens.
I'm looking at the outline, and it just said Bills cover. Well, excuse me, Brandon still hasn't put my 6 win in there. He only has me on 5. There's a conspiracy afoot.
I'm over here updating this as we go with the picks.
All right,
look, to our listeners out there, Woody Massey is our Odell Beckham Jr.
I get all the girls.
That too, sure.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington football team. The Bucs are giving the football team 9 in this one. Is there a chance here? Rematch of the playoffs? We already seen Heinicke take it to the GOAT once.
Man.
Heinicke almost changed the whole landscape of the NFL last year in his first start.
He did, and he played very well in that postseason matchup versus Tampa Bay. This is tough. You know, a few weeks ago, it was a similar line to this one when Tampa Bay played Philadelphia on a Thursday night game. And I believe the final score was 28-22, and Philadelphia actually covered. So this is tough. I am going to go Washington football team.
Ooh, to cover. I like it. I like it.
That's interesting.
I feel bad about it.
Give me the older team coming out of the bye. They're going to beat down on them.
Brady's coming off of a loss.
Yeah.
Off of a bye. Yeah, I'm going Tampa.
Okay. Do you guys know what the injury report looks like? Is Antonio Brown?
Brown is supposed to play.
Well, he did. He removed the walking boot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's ready yet. I know Gronk's not ready, obviously.
I heard he still might play.
Yeah, they have a lot of people on the injury report that's still listed as questionable. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin is on the injury report.
Godwin's out, I believe.
He's still – I thought he was more questionable, too. Maybe he's closer to the other side of that, Woody. You're right.
I mean, you just never know these days. You know, everyone's kind of adopted the Bill B mentality about, let me provide, you know, as few details as possible.
He hasn't practiced this week, so including today, non-participants so far. So we'll see. He's missed 2 practices in a row.
Atlanta Falcons at Dallas Cowboys.
I got some news on this game. I actually just got a notification about 2 minutes ago. Randy Gregory suffered a calf injury in Wednesday's practice that could land him on injured reserve.
Whoa, that's big.
It's huge because they already have DeMarcus Lawrence, who...
Which injured reserve? The three game?
At least 3 weeks.
Interessante.
Well, here's the thing. Atlanta's been playing tough lately. It's in a dome. I looked at this and was like, that's a really big spread for someone who just came off a beatdown by the Denver Broncos. This Atlanta team isn't a slouch team. Cordell Patterson's tough to stop. You can run on the Vikings. I mean, on the Cowboys.
They didn't have their best week last week. I don't necessarily think that run defense is terrible. I think they're in middle of the road, and then with Randy Gregory going down,
Matt Ryan time, he can throw.
Yeah, I think this Falcons team is a bad team. Okay, I think they've been playing formidable football. I've been impressed with the wins that they've been able to, you know, to get thus far this season. But I don't think they're a good team. And maybe it's that Week 1 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles that still has me feeling that way. But
it was ugly.
I think the Cowboys cover here. You know, 9.5, that's a huge spread, but I feel okay with that.
Yeah. Falcons also, they run the eighth most zone. They run zone coverage the eighth highest rate in the NFL. So I feel like this is a good game maybe to run the football. against a team who likes to also line up in a lighter box 53% of the time. So, you know, if they're spreading them out and you got Zeke, who even if he's not healthy, then you got Pollard. I think this is a get right week for the Dallas run game to set things up, get them back on track and protect that defense against an offense that any given week could explode. Atlanta's offense is, they've got weapons, and if they're on point, this could be a shootout. So you want to take that element away.
Yeah.
No, that's real.
I am going to go Atlanta, though. Keep it close.
The spread's just too big.
It's a big spread. Yeah,
especially with already hurt defense. Plus, Atlanta, like, they're on the they got weapons. Like, Russell Gage is looking healthy again. Kyle Pitts and Matt Ryan seem to have a connection now. And Cordero Patterson and Mike Davis, that's not a bad 1-2 punch out of the backfield running the ball.
Definitely the not. Cowboys have – they've covered every spread this year except last
week. Yep. So,
I'm going to go Cowboys here.
What have you done for me lately? New Orleans Saints, Tennessee Titans. Titans are giving away 4.5 to New Orleans here. Do we know Taysom Hill is going to be starting here?
CJ, will you check and see if that line's changed at all? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Woody.
Yeah, I got you.
I think Simeon is actually drawing the start. Am I incorrect? Has that changed in the last, 24 hours?
I'm looking now. Trevor Siemian is atop the depth chart right now.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that he's earned himself that much. And honestly, if Siemian plays well, why not? You know, why not let him?
Siemian didn't play that great last week, and when Hill came in, he completed both his passes for 33 yards.
Something to consider.
Am I checking on the Cowboys Falcons spread or the?
The
Titans. Saints.
Okay. This one should. I feel like this one might have some movement.
Actually,
maybe not.
Actually, so I have 3 points per ESPN app.
So it's went which way though? Tennessee, right?
Went to Tennessee. That's crazy.
Yep.
So how do you guys feel Tennessee. About this spread? The opening line has moved that much.
If it's 3, so, I'm going to go Tennessee. I thought 4.5, I'd go New Orleans.
So I'm going to move it to 3 then. So which way do you go?
I'm going to go Tennessee now if it's 3. Because their defense is playing well.
I'm going Tennessee too. If Jameis was there, I would go New Orleans. I would pick New Orleans money line. I don't think Tennessee's a great ball club. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Tennessee's coming off 2 back-to-back big wins too.
Really good wins this year. They do.
They just keep winning.
That defense is playing lights out right now.
Jeffrey Simmons, when you get an elite middle disruptor, we've seen it time and time again. It takes an average defense to above average defense.
I mean, you got to think about it. Brandon, you are right. That defense has played phenomenal. They got beat up early in the season. The Cardinals offense put up 38 on them. The Seahawks dropped 30 on them. But then 2 out of the last 3 weeks, the defense have played phenomenal. And even against the Colts, one could say, okay, the defense played pretty good. Carson Wentz, that Colts offense made it a little closer towards the end. But, hey, to hold a Kansas City offense to just 3 points, and then you played the Rams this past week and you hold them to just 16 points, that's a lot of improvement. And if that defense can keep it up, I'll change my tune about them being contenders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about Adrian Peterson? Oh, before you go, just want to shout out Deontay Foreman or Adrian Peterson a little bit with McNichols. We expect all 3 of those guys are going to play, but definitely
Foreman actually had some good runs.
Wanted to get that out there in the open for anybody who might not.
I think he had 5 carries, 26 yards.
Yeah.
Foreman. AP, he didn't show too much, but he did get those goal line touches. So fantasy-wise, I think Adrian Peterson is the person you want to throw out there for a touchdown.
He'll be better this week.
I think so, too. He showed some flashes, too, where he threw himself in the pile, bounced it outside, started that little slow-mo run of his.
Yeah. Right.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Indiana. Who did everyone go here? I went Titans at 3.
Titans. I think we all went Titans.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are giving away 10.5 in this one. So from the jump, I don't think the Colts are going to cover 10.5 2 weeks in a row because they barely did it with the Saints, with the Jets, excuse me. And I had them cover with the – I thought they were going to cover with the Titans, but that the defense, is just it leaves a back door. Once this team gets a lead, they go into prevent. So I see what happens here is the Colts jump out to an early lead, and then Jacksonville gets moving with the ball like we saw last week. So I'm going to pick the Jags to cover.
Oh, man, see, the difference between this team and what the Jags were able to do last week, I feel like the Colts, their run game, is the difference in this one versus the Bills, who just they don't have a run game. So the bottom line in this one is I believe the Colts can cover the 10.5. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Jaguars have the ability to come from behind and make it a game unless James Robinson is going to be a go, which I'm not sure he is. That might tip the scales a bit, but I'm still leaning. I'm going Colts 10 and, you know, the minus 10.5 at home. And Urban Meyer's a little too close to Dublin, Ohio for comfort for me. So he might be a little distracted.
I'm right there with you on that, Brandon. I think the 10.5, it is a large spread. However, in the last four games, the Colts have covered in all four. And out of those four games, they've won three of those games with the lone loss coming to the Tennessee Titans on Halloween night by a field goal. So with all that being said, regardless whether James Robinson plays or not, even if he's there, do we know if Jacksonville will be able to run on that Indy defense? We don't know. So I'm right here with you, man. I'll take give me Indianapolis on this one.
Yep.
Give me Indianapolis on this one. Let's see. Now, looks like the next game we have up is the Detroit Lions at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Looks like the spread is 9.5 points. Detroit, they're right now they're at the top of the list to get the number one pick for the 2022 draft. 9.5 points to a Pittsburgh offense that's a bit pedestrian. What do you think, Brandon?
I think Pittsburgh, they can cover that 9.5. It's going to be the run game over and over again for them in this one that's going to have to set that up. It is, man, 9.5 is crazy. That line hasn't moved at all. Is there any
9.5 is a lot for a team that can't throw the ball.
It's 8.5 per ESPN now. So
yeah. All right. Well, either way, I'm going Steelers. And the reason I say that, they've got the run game, they have Deontay Johnson. The Lions can't cover on the back end, especially a guy like that. Pat Freiermuth
is no slouch on offense right now.
He's another guy. Beast. He's really good. And we talked about it this year, Brandon. You were on Freiermuth. He's really started to like really cement himself as in like, hey, I'm a really good player. Like baby Gronk all day. Like when I see him catch the ball and run, I do see baby Gronk.
And he's got hands too, like way better hands than I thought he actually had.
He's a heck of an athlete too. He's a basketball player in high school. He was a really good athlete in high school. And in addition to that, I mean, he didn't drop a red zone touchdown. I don't know if he's dropped one or one that's actually catchable this year or not. I don't know if that streak continues, but I feel like every time I've seen him, you know, play a large amount or get opportunities in the red zone, he does catch it and score. So that's something to pay attention to.
I'm going with the Steelers to cover here because they have an opportunistic defense and guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt.
Oh yeah.
They destroy guys like Jared Goff. That slight mistake, they turn it into a defensive touchdown.
I'm gonna go Pittsburgh Steelers here to cover as well. Biggest reason, look, Detroit, they've been competitive for most of the season. Past few weeks, we've seen some of that competitive drive kind of, you know, fall to the floor, so to speak. And then their last game versus the Philadelphia Eagles, they gave up 236 yards on the ground, okay? And that's against the Philadelphia offense that isn't necessarily a great running team. And now here you are going against Najee Harris, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that wants to run the ball. I think they'll be able to get up by couple touchdowns or, you know, a couple possessions and just continue to churn the clock and be able to run it. Pittsburgh, lock them in. That's lock a lock in. For the week. I think that's a lock, actually. Just
okay. All right. Put a little lock next to it. Did we put those picks in?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Cleveland Browns and New England Patriots. The Patriots are giving away 2.5 points here. It's crazy that the Patriots are favored in this game now.
Yeah.
That's wild. Wild to me. Nick Chubb, no update yet on if he will be playing. He is vaccinated, so there is a chance that he may play if he puts still up a negative test. Shot, is it?
Well, so no one, there's a long, if you're vaccinated, there's a chance that if you, you know, two negative tests 24 hours apart, but no one has done it yet this year. Yeah. So I wouldn't bet on it.
Jarvis Landry, I believe is either, I don't know if he's doubtful or just questionable, something to keep an eye on. And then that, you know, puts even more stress on the passing game than already exists for the Browns. So
offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt notes that there's still a chance Chubb could come off the COVID-19 reserve list in time for Sunday's game.
Right. So
chance that could be 1%. You know?
If he does, that changes the thought process. Look, I'm going to throw it out there. I like the Browns to win this game. I think their defense is the more dominant of the two defenses. I think that the Patriots will strategize things, make this a close game. That's why it's 2.5 right now. I don't know if the line is different or has changed since the beginning of the week. It might have. Regardless, I'm going with the Browns.
I'm wondering what happens here with New England's running backs. Let me look at their, because I know
Ramondre Stevenson. Protocol for both.
I know Ramondre Stevenson, who looked great last week. I picked him up in our fantasy league because he looked real good. He had 110 total yards, I think, and Damian Harris. Both are in the concussion protocol.
It's looking like Brandon Bolden and J.J. Taylor.
Which Brandon Bolden's been balling this year, too. He's had a couple great games.
Yeah. Look, the running backs outside of fullback, which isn't even really a position anymore, they get paid the least amount on offense for a reason. I think we give too much leeway, or we invest too much in how important running backs are. Now, when you have a special guy like Nick Chubb, yes. But when we're talking Ramondre Stevenson, and I mean, look, we've seen Bill B put a guy back there and get stuff done. Mac Jones has one of the quickest releases. He does not hold on to the ball. I don't think that Cleveland pass rush will really affect the game. And that's mainly because I don't think Bill B will let it. I think it's going to be all about getting the ball out quick. I trust that New England defense with Bill B over that Cleveland Browns defense, even though that Cleveland Browns defense does have much more talent on paper. And then we're gonna transition over to this. Foxborough in the middle of November. I feel like the New England Patriots here is the safest bet. And then Bill B, I feel like he makes quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield look average. When he plays against quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield, these are the weeks average. When Baker Mayfield has to answer all these questions in the media. So I don't think Baker has a good game here, and I think New England gets the win. They definitely cover 2.5. I think New England covers.
First 1-12 wins this game.
I like it.
I'm split on this game at the end of the day. I think the better team is getting points here, even though I agree with everything you just said, CJ, the fact that Bill is going to give Baker problems. I think the Browns can still stack it up, even with just D'Ernest Johnson and Felton. Run the ball, make something happen. And I don't think this is your daddy's Patriots. You know what I mean?
I do think the Patriots could win. That's the thing. I mean, there's a part of me that's where CJ is mentally.
Look at what they did to Sammy D. And look, Baker is better than Sammy D. But he's not a lot. Look, that's a fair question to ask. Yeah, do I think he's better? Better? Yes. But he's not a lot better.
No. I'm going to go with the Browns here because I just think the better overall team's getting points.
So you're going Patriots, Woody? I got you.
Oh, my God. They don't want me to win. Minnesota Vikings, Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers giving away 2.5 in this one. Imagine the Chargers and Vikings in a field goal game. No way.
Yeah, I'm going Chargers here. I don't have a lot to say. You know, Kirk Cousins, he's been coming up short, you know, 4.5 inches type short.
3 points like, every game.
Ever. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with the Chargers here because Kirk Cousins can't seem to close.
Ooh. I think Dalvin's going to be the closer this week.
That's why he needs to start going down to Urban Meyer's bar where everyone closes.
Yeah. Come on down to Urban Town. No, I will say, I think Minnesota is going to run the football like everybody has been able to do against the Chargers. Maybe they'll adjust, but it's a little bit harder to adjust, I think, to Dalvin Cook. If you clamp down on the inside, he's going to bounce the runs outside, and he's just the kind of player that makes those kind of plays. So assuming that he does get, you know, the carry share that you would imagine he would get in a game like this, and they don't get, you know, too cute trying to throw the football or do some other things early on, they could arguably control the game. So yeah. I'm going to go with the Vikings, man. Taking them.
All right. I mean, look, that's a good analysis. I don't disagree with that. What scares me is Minnesota, they were supposed to be able to run the ball on Dallas, right? They were supposed to be able to run it on that front seven, and they couldn't. And then going back earlier in the season, we questioned Arizona's run defense and just overall defense, and Minnesota couldn't get the run game started against Arizona, too. So, yes, they have a good running back. They have a good run game. It's been inconsistent. I'm with you, though, Brandon. If that run game shows up, Minnesota should definitely win. I just don't know if it does. And then you got Captain Kirk.
Hey, who did Woody pick?
I'm going with the Chargers all day. Good job.
Yeah. Oh, that's your team.
Say it again.
Chargers all day.
And Chargers all day?
Let me tell you why. Because the Chargers match up very well against wide receivers. What is the Minnesota Vikings' strength on offense? They're wide receivers. Dalvin Cook's a little distracted.
I don't think
run game a little big.
He's gonna beat that Chargers defense up.
Justin Herbert looked mighty good last week and bounced back. I think he's back.
Yeah, this team
struggle session.
I do. Minnesota, they create turnovers. They get after the quarterback. We'll see.
When in doubt, pick the home team. That's kind of.
Well, I got something for you, though.
Chargers aren't. Chargers they don't are have
never
home.
At home. Yeah. they never have
Minnesota's home crowd, the home so, team this week. They'll have more fans than the Chargers.
Carolina Panthers at Arizona Cardinals. We have, Kyler Murray probably going to play in this one. Wow.
Colt McCoy's going to light him up.
DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice yesterday.
Doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter. James Conner, you're going to light him up. I mean, all these names that you would never expect, they're just going to light him up.
I mean, honestly, we did expect James Conner to have some success this year, especially CJ. CJ, before the season started, he was all over the fact that James Conner was one of the best running backs out of the shotgun formation, which we all know Cliff loves to do that.
Yeah.
So
I'm in the same boat as CJ is. But, you know, the game that he had a week ago was arguably the greatest game he's ever had. And I mean, look at what he was able to do with the Steelers.
Yeah.
When Lev Bell was holding out, that season was awesome for him. He kind of wore down at the end. And I think that that's partly due to him being fresh. So how long can he carry the load while Edmonds is out? And he's going to be out for a while. So this is going to be the James Conner show.
Yeah. Until he roll ankle or something. Cause it always seems like that's what happened to James Conner when he's carrying a load. Twist the ankle or knee or something.
Might see Kyler run a little bit more too.
He can't.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't.
He is supposed to play. He's going to play.
He probably shouldn't.
I know he shouldn't. Let him sit one out again. You got a great record right now. You don't have to worry about it. But still,
let Cole get some burn. Takes back to Texas.
Hey, look. I don't know if you guys remember me saying this, but this offseason we had conversations about Sam Darnold, and I let you guys know that Sam Darnold had never played more than 13 games in his 3 years in the NFL.
Oh, yeah?
And the same thing is going to hold true this year because now he's going to be out for about a month. It's funny how that works. History tells us so much.
Keep your short shorts to yourself.
Hey, look, man, Cam Newton, if you can somehow make an appearance even for a few plays, I can't wait to hear the crowd. I guarantee fans are going to be like, yeah, you know, he's going to feel good about it, you know? And who knows? Maybe it is some sort of thing that sparks him.
All right, we're spending a lot of time on a game where the backup quarterback is going to play.
All right, guys, Arizona, they cover it, all right?
You think Carolina covers?
I said Arizona.
With P.J. Walker?
I know Arizona looked great versus San Francisco last week without a lot of their starters. I've seen it all before. Down week. I just saw it a few weeks ago. Dallas beat Minnesota without Dak Prescott and turn around and lay an egg versus a team they were supposed to beat. I'm not saying Arizona lose here, but I'm saying I could see it. I at least have Carolina covering. You got Christian McCaffrey back full strength. I don't think he's going to be limited. They're going to lean on him. And that Carolina defense is not a slouch. It's not as good as what we thought it was through the first 3 weeks of the year, but it's still a pretty good defense. And they have the pieces to, kind of keep Kyler Murray at bay with Brian Burns coming off the edge. And, you know, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Give me Carolina here.
I'm a little upset because you stole my thunder here. And this is going to hurt same. I think P.J. Walker may make their offense a little better with the threat of him running out of the backfield and that he can throw on the run a little bit.
Yeah, P.J. Walker, he doesn't move the needle. And if they're just going to – CMC is going to get bottled up in this game. He might make a few plays, but it's not going to be enough.
Okay.
All right. So, Brandon, you're going with Arizona to cover?
Yep. Give me all right.
Philadelphia Eagles at Denver Broncos. The Broncos are giving off 2.5 points after a very big win against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the question to answer here, was that an outlier game? Which I personally think it was. I think they caught the Cowboys at the right time. With Dak coming back from injury, I don't necessarily think that the Broncos are that good, especially after losing Von Miller. I don't think they suddenly take a jump because Von Miller's not in the lineup anymore.
Same, but with all that said, do you think, I mean, it's 2.5 points versus Philly, who's not a good team. I agree with everything you said, but even with that being said, I think I have Denver to cover here at home, 2.5 points. It is important to note Patrick Surtain will probably be out for a few weeks. He tweaked his knee.
That's actually big. I didn't know Patrick Surtain's.
It's significant, and I'll also say this, the Von Miller trade doesn't seem to be hurting Denver at all. At least last week it didn't. They got a rookie, Jonathan Cooper, who comes off the edge. He looks like he may be a stud in the making. Give me Denver here, man. That defense is good. The Philadelphia offense is not good. You look at their offensive numbers, and their offensive numbers doesn't look horrible, but it's really inflated because a lot of those statistics come in garbage time. So give me Denver here all day, every day.
I don't need to really say much about it. Denver.
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles here.
Say it with your chest.
No, it's not worth the chest. I don't feel great about it. I just think Philly's getting a little better each week. And I think that they match up better against Denver than most teams. All right, Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers. The Packers are giving away 6 points here. Russell Wilson, probable return. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be playing? They said there's a slight chance he might miss this Sunday. So has this line fluctuated since then?
Ivermectin.
Apparently it works.
I don't know. I'm more excited about Russell Wilson coming back. This is like a this should be a Sunday night football game, man. Aaron Rodgers, Seattle, Green Bay. Everybody remember the Hail Mary that seems like it was like a decade ago, but.
Yeah.
6 points is a lot.
6 points is a lot. It's true.
What is the line right now? Did it move at all?
Let's see.
I mean, it is. It's at Green Bay. Weather, I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, the line's down to 3, Green Bay.
See? Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that's a real line right there.
So I'll move that one.
Because I was going to smash the Seahawks significant cover move here, but now I think the Packers cover.
Yeah, I think Packers. Packers Rodgers is back.
Every game this season. Every single game.
I'm going to take the Packers.
Yep, same.
I'll take the Packers here as well. -3, at home. Give me Green Bay. if Aaron Rodgers don't play, we can renege this one, right?
Yes, correct. We are putting that one. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play,
nope. I'm just kidding. That's fine, because I feel the same way. If he's not playing, we already know.
Lord
again,
knows,
Seattle's defense is suspect.
Jordan Love gets no love here. Jordan Ain't Love no loves love. To be a bad quarterback. Kansas City Chiefs, Las Vegas Raiders. Chiefs are only favored in this one by 2.5. How the mighty have fallen.
Hold on, wait. Are they favored?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be. Okay. Let me tell you something about this game, because I've been paying close attention to the remaining schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs and trying to do a little bit of a comparison of how defenses are defending, or at least the teams that they've already faced, how they play defense. I didn't get like an actual game, you know, what coverages every team was using against Kansas City, just percentage wise. But just, I want to note the Raiders, they do play a lot of, you know, one high, right? So they're going to play cover one, cover three, all that good stuff. So there's going to be some man-to-man opportunities. They actually play middle field closed coverage with the one high look 64% of the time. So this could be a get right moment right here for this offense.
Right. Well, with all that being said, Brandon, you would expect, or one would expect, being an NFL coach, you would make your adjustments and you would run a lot more too high versus Kansas City.
You would. But you team runs one high at the highest rate.
Oh my gosh, like, man! John's not there anymore, so hopefully they can make the proper adjustments. Because I just hate seeing that. Make the adjustments to what you've seen has worked. And look, this blueprint that we're seeing against Kansas City, Buffalo gave it to us last year. Kansas City still beat Buffalo in the game. I believe it was Monday night game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually ran for 160 yards, but they slowed Patrick Mahomes and that offense down. So
yeah,
that's kind of the blueprint.
Yeah, that is. And what is even crazier for Kansas City right now, they don't really have a strong run game, or at least they abandon it too soon.
Clyde Edwards should be back this week, if that means anything.
I don't know if that helps though, because
if he's back,
like you said,
that does
Brandon,
help.
I mean,
think it helps
him
a little bit.
But they totally abandoned the run game.
They did last week, because in fantasy I was watching and I knew that they were getting close to the goal line a couple times. I, you know, got bailed out by them trying to throw the football too much near the goal line. Then they got a penalty that moved them back, mm-hmm. and they just abandoned the run. Had they ran the football a little bit more, I would have lost that fantasy game last week. So,
yeah,
trust me.
I think the Kansas City snaps out of it here. I think there aren't many winnable games left on their schedule, and everything the Vegas has been through the past couple weeks, I think it affects them right here. I think the Chiefs win this game.
Coverage-wise for them, the remaining schedule is, if teams don't make adjustments, they've got an opportunity. But yeah, I'm going Chiefs. They're gonna bounce back in a big way.
I'm going Vegas.
Huh?
Yeah, I think.
I thought you said something on the last show about Vegas in the beginning, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Well, we thought they were gonna beat the Giants last week. All three of us did.
No, not Vegas Raiders. I was just trying to throw that out there. We open the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I just think
CJ wasn't happy with Vegas.
I just think this Vegas offense, regardless of, you know, all the commotion that's going on off the field, still a high-powered offense. Derek Carr is still playing pretty good football. And that Kansas City Chiefs defense is it's awful. It's awful, okay? So give me Vegas here, man. Just give me Vegas. Like, who?
All right.
Give me
Summon
Vegas.
Your
I got them.
Vegas.
They're in there with your name on them.
You the man.
Los Angeles Rams, San Francisco 49ers, Monday Night Football. Rams coming off a rough one against the Tennessee Titans on the Sunday Night Football game. And the San Francisco 49ers are coming off a couple rough games themselves. So the Rams are giving away 4 points in this one. What y'all think? Do we see more Trey first? Lance this week?
Look, I watched more San Francisco than I wanted to. Even though I enjoy watching that offense, but like what happened in that game was god awful. It was awful to watch because they were forced out of their comfort zone quickly by a team that shouldn't have been able to. You would think on paper, Colt McCoy and James Conner and no Hopkins, they're out there. And it was your own self-inflicted mistakes as we discussed on the last show.
Yeah.
For the 49ers, they put them in a position where they had to play the way they had to lean on Jimmy G more than they needed to. So I don't know.
Question for you, for both of you. What's up? It seems like Kyle Shanahan's tone has changed as the seasons went on. Right now, at first it was like, Jimmy G, we don't know. Trey Lance, yeah, he looks good. And now it's like, nah, Jimmy G's our guy. I'm okay with the way Jimmy G played. It's just weird.
Because he's a weird guy. Knows. And he doesn't know how to handle young players.
He went from super critical.
You were giving me a bunch of crap this year saying that I like how he's tough on young players. He does not know how to handle young players. And I think we've learned that over a sample size now. He's ruined some of his young offensive talent.
Hey, I do want to point out familiarity. Both coaches. I think that'll play a role. Just an understanding of how both coaches like to scheme things up and do things. I think that helps.
Well, and remember, the Rams have always done poorly against the 49ers when Jared Goff was their quarterback. So I think the 49ers go to put pressure on Matthew Stafford like they used to with Jared Goff. And one, the 49ers can't put as much good pressure as they used to. Two, Matthew Stafford is much better at handling the blitz than Jared Goff. Yeah. I think that this was a blowout. I think the Rams rebound after that weird game last week. I don't think it's going to be close.
I think the Rams rebound as well. And, you know, I've brought up a few times throughout the season about Jalen Ramsey and this new position that he plays on the Rams defense called the star position. Well, over the past few weeks, he has started to play a lot more outside corner. However, this week I'd be interested to see with George Kittle at tight end if Jalen Ramsey plays more at that star position, that nickel slash hybrid position, and you know, perhaps match up on George Kittle and you know, play, you know, have some stops in the run game and whatnot. So I'm very interested to see that matchup there, because I don't think anyone on the 49ers on the outside of that offense scares them, right? I mean, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, but they don't scare you. I feel like George Kittle's the best player on the
after offense. after the catch stuff, but you got to worry about Debo, man.
No, of course you do. He has big playability. He's not a bad receiver. I still think he's a better athlete than he is receiver. I think it's more about the run after catch than anything with Debo. But again, I just think George Kittle is the scariest thing on that offense.
Who's got Cooper Kupp? I don't think anybody does.
Don't sleep on what Robert Woods has been doing either.
I think Bobby Trees gets locked down in this game.
Well, you've been saying that for a couple weeks, and you're trying to reverse jinx him here because you're playing against Robert Woods this week. Robert Woods he's the 12th overall fantasy receiver now, and he's put up over 10 points like 7 weeks straight.
That's strong.
He won't need to. He can take a seat this week.
We'll see.
This is Cup's week, man.
We'll see.
It's always
his cup runneth. His cup runneth over this week.
My little Cooper Cup.
Little Cooper Cup.
Hey, did we make our pick? I don't even. Did I make a pick? I don't even think I picked.
I have Rams covering.
Man, I'm going 49ers.
Okay.
I mean, this is going to be, it's going to be a close game. I have a feeling this is just going to turn into as long as 49ers don't turn it over a ton, right? That's my thought process. But if they do what they did last week, they're toast.
Yeah. They're playing at San Francisco, too. I don't know why, but whenever I see a San Francisco home game, I'm like, oh, protect your knees, protect the ACLs.
Oh, man. That's true.
Remember last year?
Don't drink the water.
Yeah.
Something in the water.
Remember last year, everyone got hurt, and then they started blaming the turf? And I think it happened this year in New York, right? Everyone started getting hurt. They started blaming the
It's unreal.
It's crazy.
Did Woody make a pick? You're picking your Rams, right?
I'm picking the Rams, yes.
Your Rams. Oh. Same difference.
All right, guys. That is going to wrap up our NFL weekend preview. We gave you all the games, all the picks. We still up here over 50%. There's some I should be in the lead right now, but there's some technical difficulties due to cheaters.
He's our OBJ.
You know,
technical difficulties.
I wish I could dance like the man, that's for sure.
You've been on hold for 6 hours waiting on somebody to get back to you about your picks.
They just keep telling me about HR.
something HR.
And something about some old emails.
Oh, yeah. We got some old emails of yours. You think you want to press
they keep,
this? We
got
some
sound bites about my old buddy Daniel Snyder. We got some sound bites. John Gruden, yeah. Hey guys, check out the NBA show. When this is posted, there will be an Eastern Conference preview. We got a Western Conference preview. Me and Coach Melvin Taylor been going at it. Preview the whole NBA for y'all, talking about every single storyline on each roster. And now, after these two episodes are done each week, we're going to be recapping the NBA week at large, going over the storylines, talking about the MVP candidates and the good rookies. Nice. It's a good 45-minute show to check out in the future. We get an NBA, that's my first love. So yeah. Tuesdays, I'm going to try to put it out.
And again, hey, people, hit show, that man. Subscribe button. Tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell your stepmama, tell your mama's side dude, tell everybody we're almost at 1,500
Cliff?
Subscribers.
Yeah. Cliff. Get us up. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we out.
M. Cash, lead us out.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.